This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Nancy Pelosi is under fire from her own party. I love this. I really do. Absolutely love this. Because the Democratic Party is in the midst of a giant civil war. And we don't really talk about it very much. Nationally, anyway. We don't really talk about it very much. But the truth of the matter is that the party is having a major problem because as they move further and further to the left, they realize that they're losing. Now, I know that sounds counterintuitive, right? Didn't they win all these House seats? And they win all these House of Representative seats. Isn't that a national trend and say the Democratic Party is doing great? No, I wouldn't. Because congressional seats are not an indicator of the party's national prominence. They are districts, and they're designed in certain ways. These are districts. These are not national elections. I can't tell you what every single Democrat district, Republican district, swing district, I don't know the campaigns that were run there. I have no idea. And one issue that matters in one does not matter in another issue, and the kind of media that's used, mail pieces, get up the vote operations, all these things play a factor into it. Otherwise, why would you even hire campaign consultants? I mean, really, if you're just running and you're a Democrat and it's a competitive district, why not just save your money and sit back and let the anti-Trumpness carry you to victory, right? I mean, if it's that simple, if this is a referendum on the president, a referendum on President Trump, a referendum on the Republican Party, then why are you campaigning? The truth is that within these districts, there are issues that one issue might matter in North Jersey, doesn't matter in South Jersey. Imagine that across the nation. And of course, obviously, the president matters in all these races. Without question, it does. But these are not national elections. These are district elections. The Senate, however, with the idea of everybody in the whole state voting, you can certainly look at that as more of a bellwether of how people are feeling nationally, because you could have Democrats win seats in a state and the state still elect a Republican senator. But beyond that, even the leadership of the House, why, if they're in such good shape, why are they all coming after Pelosi? Think about that for a moment. If they're in such great shape and they have this amazing blue wave of 40 seats or 41 seats or whatever it turns out to be, why then are they coming after the woman who led them to victory? If they're in such great shape. See, as everybody talks about, and this is what you're going to hear over Thanksgiving. Again, I don't want you talking politics over Thanksgiving because nothing good comes of it. But if you have to talk politics over Thanksgiving, I want to make sure that you win. If you're going to have a knockout, drag out Thanksgiving battle with your in-laws, at least I want you to win. All right? I'm telling you not to. I'm suggesting to you not to. I never tell you what to do, but I'm suggesting you don't. But if you do, then win. All right? So when they bring up to you, well, yeah, but the Democrats did an amazing job. They won all these seats on Tuesday. What does that mean? Then ask them, why are they coming after Pelosi then? If the party's in such great shape, why? Why did 16 Democrats vow to oppose the vampiric one for speaker? Why? On the House floor they did this, by the way. Why did they do this? Why was there a letter that went public today, the Democrats calling Pelosi a historic figure? Yes, a historic figure. As the idea of them basically saying now that she has a place in time. I'm thinking about the semblance of that. A historic figure. Not a historical figure, a historic figure. And you can go down so many different roads with that if you want to. But really what it comes down to from a serious political analysis is that she's yesterday, man. She's an old hag. Get her out of town. They got to have youth and vigor, even though the people running are not necessarily any more youthful than she is. But they got to have a new face on the party. You know, The Onion last week, which is a satirical online news site, The Onion, they had a whole thing about Nancy Pelosi was going to stay in power by draining the blood out of young Democrats. That was the whole thing. A complete ripoff of the vampiric one, something I've been calling her for years now. We've been doing that bit on this show for a long time. The idea that she is a vampire, she's eternal, she walks the earth, and she drains the blood of young, unsuspecting Democrats to stay in power. Literally last week, The Onion did that exact same bit. So they stole my intellectual property, but that's okay. I'm not mad because they say imitation is the highest form of flattery. But doesn't that show you something? The Onion's a pretty left-leaning sight, right? Doesn't that tell you something? Here you have these Democrats coming out and calling her a historic figure, which is, again, is a joke that I've been making about her for years, that she's historic in the sense of an immortal being that Van Helsing has been trying to get after for years now. And they're calling her a historic. What does historic mean? It means somebody of the past, right? Obviously history. But it also means a person that has no more sway and no more pull. If you're a historic figure, then you are somebody in the rearview mirror. You're not somebody who's out there in the fight. They don't want her to be in the fight anymore. She needs 218 votes to become Speaker on January 3rd. Now, she's probably going to win. But isn't it interesting, though, that they're battling here over this? And what does that tell you about the state of the Democratic Party? What does that tell you? So ask your family over Thanksgiving as they're bringing up the blue wave and just say, but if the blue wave is so real and it's so strong, why are they getting rid of the person who theoretically was the one who orchestrated the blue wave? Why? The letter does not include at least three additional Democratic lawmakers or members-elect who have confirmed to Politico that they intend to oppose Pelosi on the floor. One of them is Representative Connor Lamb of Pennsylvania, Abigail Spanberger of Virginia, and Jason Crow of Colorado. That means she's got 19 members who oppose her. Yeah. And that is enough to keep her from becoming Speaker should these members refuse to budge. Three races in Utah, Georgia, and Texas have not been called but are trending toward the Republican incumbents. Pelosi has defiantly said she will win a Speaker vote and has no intention of withdrawing. Monday's letter suggests that Pelosi's pressure to wrestle the needed votes has so far fallen short. Though her allies know that they have more than a month to crank up the heat and get these critics in line. Well, how are you going to do that? How do you get critics in line? How do you do that? You know what you do? You make a deal that this will be your last run. So even if Pelosi wins the speakership, she's signing her own, I can't say death warrant again because she's an eternal vampiric presence, but she's saying that politically speaking, it's over for her. This is the end of the line for Nancy Pelosi. And you know why? Because in their mind, she's not lefty enough for them. That's what I mean. The reality of the situation is, well, there's a couple of Democrats like Connor Lamb from Pennsylvania who would probably oppose her for other reasons, probably because in his district, he said he had to get elected in that new district up in Pennsylvania where he says he's a pro-Second Amendment guy, says he's a different kind of Democrat, vowed to oppose Pelosi. But the other people who are opposing her are opposing her because she has not taken the party left enough in their mindset. Several Democratic candidates, for example, ran on a promise to oppose her or back new leadership. One of them is the new Congresswoman Mikee Sherrill of New Jersey. She vowed during the campaign to oppose Pelosi, even running a commercial saying so. Because in that district, which is the district held by Rodney Frelinghuysen, Republican chairman of the Appropriations Committee, he's out, he's retired, he's a vacant seat. But that's a Republican district. So in order for her to win that, she had to say, oh, no, I'm against Pelosi. And she spent money letting people know that. All right, so that's another example right there of why Democrats are voting no on her. But then you've got the lefty contingent led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who says they want new leadership. We promise to change the status quo. We intend to deliver on that promise. Change the status quo, meaning Democrats who will back Medicare for all. And a lot of the Democrats are looking at this and going, the party is in big trouble here. They're really, truly in big trouble for 2020. Even if you can pick up 40 congressional seats, that doesn't mean you win the White House. First of all, who do you have? Who's your candidate in the White House in 2020? And let's face it, this is all about 2020. So who's your candidate in 2020? Is it Cory Booker? Is that who it is? Is it Elizabeth Warren? Is it Kamala Harris? How far left is the party going to go as they try to oppose Donald Trump? And even though you might have picked up some congressional seats, when you've got Democrats who are running and acting like Republicans as they're running, that doesn't say much. It says a lot about that district. It doesn't say anything nationally. And it also doesn't translate into a White House run. What it does do, however, and the history has shown that, by the way, because Republicans have made gains in midterms and still lost the White House. And Democrats know this as well. What it does show is this vicious battle going on within the Democratic Party to not move even further to the left. And the ones who are fueling this behind the scenes are candidates who are way far to the left. And even it's forcing then other candidates to go further to their left. I'm talking about ones who want to be national candidates. Obviously, if you have a congressional district that was a Republican district, you're not pulling this stunt when you're in that district. But if you want to run for president and you're going to New Hampshire, you are. Oh, yeah, you are. And you're talking about Medicare for all. You're talking about $15 minimum wage. You're talking about all the issues that are killer issues. Disastrous issues that Democrats did not bring up in these swing elections. Look at these districts where Democrats won, and how many of them in those districts were they openly talking about things like Medicare for all or $15 minimum wage? Ask yourself that question. And if the answer is, well, not many, doesn't that tell you something right there? But the base is the base, and in order to become the nominee of the Democratic Party in 2020, you got to win the base over, and the base is who wants her out. And she's from San Francisco. And if San Francisco says you're not liberal enough for us, what does that tell you about the Democratic base? This is the base that says abolish ICE. This is the base that says, you know, let everybody in, open borders. It's the base that turns around and goes Medicare for all, $15 minimum wage, and the environment above all else, over everything, including jobs, all of it. And what this little battle over Pelosi's speakership is not even much about the speakership as it is about committee chairs. If you oppose her, you're not going to advance. If she wins, you're not going to advance in terms of the leadership and what that gives you. Majority status, committee chairs, and that sort of thing. What this really means, though, for Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats in charge is her lieutenants are further to the left than she is, which is crazy to us, but not crazy to this Democratic base. They have a real problem here. They are not a national party. Despite winning 40 seats, it does not make them a national party. These were not national elections. And what this little fight is proving out in the House right now is the party has no unity. And she's right now the leader of the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi is the leader of the Democratic Party. She is the highest ranking official in the Democratic Party. Oh, no, Chuck Schumer doesn't outrank her. She is second in line of presidential succession. She is the highest ranking Democrat in the country. And she cannot even keep her caucus together, even though she's delivered now 40 seats, or whatever the total is going to come out to be. And she still cannot keep them all together. So again, that is all the evidence you need. The Democratic Party, on a national perspective, has a major, major problem going into 2020. As Nancy Pelosi will be working around the clock to save her speakership, conservatives in the Senate will be working around the clock to confirm President Trump's judges and also some other executive nominees. But the judges are what really counts. Following the retention of a Republican majority in the Senate in the 2018 midterm elections, the Conservative Action Project launched the letter campaign saying lawmakers should work around the clock if necessary to put Trump's picks in the executive branch and federal courts into place. If these nominations are not confirmed by the end of the year, they will be returned to the White House, the letter said. With this in mind, we ask you to keep the Senate in session to confirm all pending conservative executive and judicial nominations before adjourning for the year, particularly now before the 60-vote threshold is no longer a barrier. There is no excuse for not continuously confirming nominees. And the letter says that this is not the first time conservatives have lobbied McConnell to get Trump's nominees approved. Ken Klukowski, Breitbart's senior legal editor, said last October that the U.S. president is only one human being. He can't get these people through without the U.S. Senate and their work. So the Senate now, the Republicans in the Senate are going to be working very, very hard. They've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of judicial vacancies still out there. Just contrast the two right there, and I think it's your national political question answered for you. And you can say at Thanksgiving, if you want to, you can say, well, yeah, but I mean, the Republicans are working to confirm judges before the end of the year. Pelosi's fighting to save her speakership. So which party do you think is in peril more? Because they'll bring up the fact that Jeff Flake may primary Donald Trump. Look, Jeff Flake has no chance of winning the nomination in 2020. I'm not saying that a primary challenge is not going to happen and that politics can certainly change. I mean, it's only 2018, but Jeff Flake has, as of right now, zero chance of being that person. Who else is there? John Kasich? But they'll bring that up and they'll tell you that, you know, Trump's weak within his own party. He's not. But the Democrats are really weak because they don't have a standard bearer going into 2020 right now. Not at all. And some of their geniuses that they have who are their shining stars, shall we say, the Democratic Party, Beto O'Rourke. They don't know if Beto O'Rourke's going to run, but they all keep hoping that the failed Texas senatorial candidate, U.S. Senate candidate, will run because they love him. They love Beto. They love him. They're also hoping Michelle Obama runs, too. It's a little montage of CNN. This is Allison Camerota gushing over superstar, rock star Michelle Obama. Ready? Take a listen.
Mr. Obama compared himself to Jay-Z, referencing the instances when the rapper appears at his wife's concerts and surprises her on stage. And also, I guess, being married to a superstar.
Ah.
The crowds that she's getting, the rock star-like reception she's getting, what
rock
does
star.
That mean? Michelle Obama getting a rock star reception as she promotes her memoir. Mm. Would she consider a run, as so many people are?
Oh my God, how many more times does she have to be asked before we look?
At least one more today. Okay. You know, lots of people are wondering if Michelle Obama herself is considering some public service, if she would run for president ever.
She's going to use her incredible platform to be a force for good, but not in politics. You can bank on that.
So you're saying there's a chance?
No. No.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Why do they even need to gush over Michelle Obama? If they had somebody they were looking at, if they even had somebody who could be their standard bearer, and that's part of the problem. It's part of the problem. So then they have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the it girl now in Congress. She's, of course, you know, 28. She's a socialist. She's going into the House. She's one of the people leading the rebellion against Nancy Pelosi, trying very hard to pull the party further and further to the left. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez she was working at a restaurant, I believe. Fine. It's legit work. Worked at a bar, all that stuff. She's going to D.C. She's can't afford an apartment yet until she starts getting her paychecks to be a member of Congress. And she also is clearly a constitutional scholar. So take a listen to cut number one.
If we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, rather all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, right, we can't start working in 2020.
Stop. The presidency, the Senate, and the House. The three branches of government. All right, this woman's a member of Congress. She's going into Congress. She was elected now. She says the three branches of government are the presidency, the Senate, and the House.
The presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020.
Right. Now, of course, obviously, the three branches of government are the executive branch, the presidency, the legislative branch, which has two houses. We have a bicameral legislature in this country, so we have a Senate and a House. Then we have a judicial branch of government, the courts. Do I think she messed up? No, I don't. I just don't think that she's very experienced in understanding the ways of our country, which is why she talks about Medicare for All and says, just pay for it. Just pay for it. Just figure out a way and pay for it. How do you pay for it? You just do it. Just pay for Medicare for All and stop asking. Stop asking such dumb questions. All right, fair enough. Then, of course, you have the other question then which everybody's wondering right now. So if not Nancy Pelosi, then whom? Could it be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez if she's not immediately appointed to the United States Supreme Court for her stunning constitutional knowledge? Could it be her or be somebody else? No one has emerged to take on the speaker. There was a woman last week named Fudge and talked about a little fudge last week, but I don't think Fudge has stepped up yet. Representative Marsha Fudge considering a run against Pelosi, but she said she was undecided. So Fudge doesn't know if she wants to run. We don't know if we'll have Fudge on the ballot against Speaker Pelosi. Don't know. Pelosi, a legendary legislator, vote counter, campaigner, and fundraiser. She has expressed supreme confidence that she'll win again. That's the problem, too. Who do they have? Who else do they have? You can't beat somebody with nobody. And, you know, they would love to have somebody, not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but they'd love to have somebody of her legislative ilk, of her thinking, her liberal ilk. They would love that because they know in the Senate, in the House, and the Senate, and the presidency, the three branches of government, they know that if they try to win any of those back besides the one that they have, the House, it's all going to depend on them moving further to the left. What do I mean by that? Very simple. You ask yourself what the average voter wants in this country, and then you ask yourself what the average Democrat Party base member wants. The average member of the Democratic Party who's a base voter, that means the 4 out of 4 voters, the ones who care and show up every time, what they want is Medicare for All. It's going to be a huge issue in the Democratic primary for 2020. A huge issue. And what they're looking at now, much like how after the election, a lot of Republicans turned around and said, Well, maybe Republicans who didn't run closer to the president lost, and maybe that's part of it. Well, guess what Democrats are saying right now? Maybe Bill Nelson lost Florida because Bill Nelson wasn't far enough to the left. Yeah. No, it's true. They're saying that. You know, maybe had he been more like the woman who won Arizona, he would have retained Florida. They look at that. They look at Kristen Seitzma winning in Florida, and they go, no, this is the pathway. You have to actually go further to the left. I know. It's so counterintuitive to everything else, but you realize now this is a party that is going further and further to the left. So Democrat Kamala Harris says it's now time for Democrats to pass more gun control. Again, they're not going to go, all right, now that we have the House, why don't we try to moderate a little, try to work with people who, you know, look at a Democrat like Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania and say, the guy's, he's a pro Second Amendment Democrat. Maybe that's kind of the way we go. Tim Ryan in Ohio. Maybe we look at some of this. Nope. Now that they look at the Democrats having the House, people like Kamala Harris from California, who's a giant lefty, they say, now we have to do all the things, the lefty things that we want to do. And then you have other people coming out, like a woman who comes out, she's a commentator on CNN, and she came out and said that all white women who voted for Donald Trump are racist. So they're doubling down on that narrative as well. And this is what's leading up to the 2020 election. And Nancy Pelosi's feeling the brunt of this because she's the person right now who's most likely going to be the highest ranking Democrat in the nation until the party nominates somebody. Because then at that point, that person becomes the top Democrat. The top dog gets to pick the party chair. The party gets designed in that person's image and they go forward like that. But that's not until when? It's not until the summer of 2020. It's a long time away. And you're going to see this battle going on between now and then in a big way.
Rizzioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.